Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message. Hey, to get us started today, I want to ask you to help me out, church family. I want to ask you right now in the comment section on your computer to type in the answer to this question. My happy place is, and then you fill in the blank. So for my wife, if Megan was filling out the comment section, she would put, my happy place is the beach. Stella would say, my happy place is outside. For me, I would say, my happy place is at the golf course in the late evening. Here's what I know. We all have our happy places, but in the middle of this crisis we're in today, one of the bad things is that no matter where your happy place is, you probably can't get there. Even if your happy place is to be at home by yourself, you can be at home, but you can't be by yourself. Maybe your happy place is to be outdoors with people, but yet you can't get with people. One of the most, to add insult to injury during this crisis, is that we have all these places and even people that bring us joy and bring us peace, but in this current circumstance, we can't get there. And so many people today are grieving over their loss of peace. And I want to talk to you this morning about how you can trade panic for peace, how you can trade grief or loss of those things that bring you comfort for the peace of God. You know, the Word reminds us in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, that the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. You know, His peace is not bound by what you know. His peace is not bound by what you understand. And His peace is not bound by our circumstance. You know, if you look up the word peace in the dictionary, the definition it gives you is a lack of disturbance. Well, that would be great if you could have a whole day that lacks interruptions or disturbances. But the truth is, that doesn't exist. I know every mom of a four-year-old is shouting amen right now. You just wish you had like 5 minutes without disturbing, but it doesn't happen. And the problem I have with that definition of peace is this. I'm not sure you're ever going to have peace if that's your definition. If your definition is a lack of interruption, if that's your only definition of peace, wow, it's going to be hard to have peace in life. But what if peace isn't defined by what's going on the outside of you? What if peace is defined by what's going on the inside of you? See, I believe you can trade your panic for God's peace. We're going to look at God's Word this morning in Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. We're going to see how some of Jesus' closest disciples had a moment of panic. They forgot that they had Jesus with them. They could have peace. You probably know the story in Mark chapter 4. The Bible says when the evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let us go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with them. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified to even ask, who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. I want to pray for you this morning that in this moment we have together today, that God will help you trade any panic in your life for his peace. So Father, I just pray for every person watching today by video, listening on the podcast, whether they're watching on the day this is presented or weeks from now, that your peace will just flood their hearts and flood their lives. Lord, bless our time together today. Open our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say. And Lord, even give me ability to speak exactly and only what the Spirit wants to say to us together. And we'll rejoice. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. So these disciples were not the perfect picture of peace. They were the perfect picture of panic. The storm in their life was real. It wasn't a figurative thing they were going through. These were real live waves. They were professional fishermen. They knew that other people they had known in their past had drowned, had lost their lives because of moments just like this. So when I look at them, I don't really condemn them for panicking. I understand why they're panicking. And what they desperately need is the peace of God, but they also need the power of God to come into their life and calm their storm. Some of you this morning, you need the power of God to not just fix the outward problem around you, you need the peace of God to come in and calm the storm inside of you. And here's what I've discovered. Peace is not always because life is smooth. Peace is not the result of everything being perfect. Peace is knowing that God is in control. So here's what panic does. Panic causes you to make false assumptions. If you look back at that scripture, you'll see several false assumptions these disciples made. For instance, they assumed that Jesus didn't care. They assumed that Jesus was unaware. They assumed that this was the end of their life. But Jesus showed them this was not the end. Jesus showed them that he did care, and Jesus showed them that he had power over what they were facing. Can I tell you, God has power over what you're facing today. And so, therefore, you can have peace instead of panic. So how can you trade your panic for God's peace? I believe this scripture gives us several ways. And the first way this morning is by us confessing that I'm going to make it through this storm. Now, maybe you want to turn to the person sitting next to you on the couch this morning and just say that out loud, that I'm going to make it through this storm. See, the very first scripture I read to you this morning said that Jesus said to the disciples, we're going to the other side. See, here's something about the God we serve. Everything Jesus starts in your life, he finishes. As a matter of fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6 says this, that I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished when Jesus Christ returns. Can I tell you something about the storm you're facing today? Your storm has an expiration date. There is some point in the future where that storm's going to be over. As a matter of fact, if you're watching very much news today when it comes to the COVID-19 crisis, there's all these different estimations about when is it going to be safe to relax? When can we go back to life as normal? There's disagreement about all these dates. It doesn't matter what position you hold or what degree you have. Everyone's wondering, when is this going to pass? But everyone knows this is going to pass. Here's the thing. Your storm is going to pass. Your storm is going to expire. But the promises of God never expire. And so you can confess boldly that I am going to make it because I'm following Jesus. And so therefore, I can have the peace of God in my life. See, the first assumption that panic makes is panic assumes that this is the end. But peace knows this is just going to be another testimony along my journey that Jesus is taking care of me. You know, I've noticed that many of us are posting Facebook videos. Some of them are just short, funny videos. Some of them are longer videos. But here's what I've noticed. Most times, I don't get a choice to choose what expression on my face shows up when that video is posted. And it seems like Facebook always chooses the most awkward picture of my face to post as the thumbnail. And you know why it looks so awkward? It's because it's a freeze moment. It's a scary picture because it's a freeze moment. One of the reasons your life seems so scary right now is because you're judging your whole life by one moment. And you're freezing this one moment. You're assuming this is the end. This is how it's going to be. But I can tell you, every good work Jesus has started in your life, he's going to finish. So confess with me today, I'm going to make it through this storm. I'm going to get to the other side. The second thing I want to share with you this morning, the second truth is don't let the storm around you blind you to who is with you. Verse number 37 says, the squall came up, the wind was blowing, the waves were coming over the sides of their boat. They were panicking, and Jesus was asleep in the stern. He was asleep on the cushion, and the disciples woke Jesus up and said these words, Lord, don't you care? See, here's what I've discovered. Storms on the outside of our life try to cause storms on the inside of our life. Their storm went from concern that their boat was going to sink to now they're concerned about, does Jesus even care for us? Did you know that's what the enemy wants to do in the middle of this storm we're in right now? He wants you to take your focus off of just the stuff that's around you that you can't control and blinds you to the fact that you serve a God who is in total control. See, panic assumes this is the end. Panic assumes that Jesus doesn't care. But peace knows that God is in control, and peace knows that Jesus cares for you. So don't let the storm around you blind you to the fact that Jesus is with you. You know, I was on a call the other day with one of our hero missionaries. He's a hero in my book. And he was one of the very first people that I personally knew that was diagnosed with COVID-19. And he experienced all the nightmare symptoms that you've read about on the news. He was put on a ventilator. He was in the hospital for weeks. And he was, like I say, he's better now. He's at home. He's healing. And I was on this phone call with him. And someone asked him, how did you make it through this hard time? And he began to tell his testimony. He said, you know, when I was on my darkest moment, I still had consciousness, but I was, you know, I was just, it was really dark. He said, someone called me and they quoted me Psalms 118, where it says that I will live and not die to tell the wonders of the God I serve. And he said, every moment I had a conscious moment, I would go back to that scripture my friend had prayed over me, that I'm going to live and not die. You know what? That was his way of hanging on to the fact that Jesus is with me in this storm, and what he starts in my life, he's going to finish. And so therefore, I can have peace and not panic because I know who's in the boat with me. I want to challenge you during this season. I know you're practicing social distance from a lot of things, but listen, you're not distant from God. So hang on to that promise that he's with you. Thirdly, this morning, I want to challenge you, don't let your storm do all the talking. Did you notice that when the disciples woke up Jesus and they said, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? That the first thing Jesus did wasn't to, he didn't talk to the disciples. He turned and he talked to the storm. He told that storm to be quiet, to be still. And the storm had to listen. Did you know your storm has a voice? And some of you have been listening to your storm. That storm's been telling you that this is the end. The storm's been telling you that you're going to get sick. The storm's been telling you that someone you love and care for isn't going to make it. The storm's been telling you that financially you're going to be in ruin. The storm has a lot of ways to speak to us. And some of us have been filling our minds with not just what our minds are thinking about the storm. Some of us are helping our minds think deadly thoughts by just plugging in to every newscast, every social media post, every article that's put about every news network, and you're just filling your mind with all these things that might happen, might not happen, and you are robbing yourself of peace, and you're living a life of panic because you've forgotten who is with you, and you have forgotten that there is another voice to listen to besides just the voice of your storm. We need to learn to talk back to our storm. That's what Jesus did. He got up and he began to talk to that storm. You may be thinking, well, Greg, is that really something that we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to speak to the storms in our life? Well, let me read you some words of Jesus. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it'll be done for them. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 120, Jesus said, say to this mountain, move from here to there, and he'll move. Jesus gives us the power, the authority, and the direction to speak to the storms in our life. See, I'm afraid that we've become very good at speaking about our storms, but not speaking to our storms. I would challenge you this week, let's become experts at speaking to our storms and not just about our storms. You know, one of my favorite stories, maybe it's yours too, one of my favorite encounters in the Word of God is when David goes and fights Goliath. It's one of the stories that Stella makes me so proud of because she can tell the story almost as good as I can. But you know, when David shows up that day to deliver his sack lunch to his brothers, and he finds out that there's this evil giant defying the armies of God, he hears what that giant is speaking to them, but no one's talking back to that giant. No one is confronting him. No one is standing up to him. They're just all cowering on this hillside. Even the king is in the shade. terrified of all these things that this giant is saying, but David does something no one else does. Now, I know you're thinking, well, yeah, he goes and fights Goliath, yeah, and he picks up 5 stones, yeah, but he does more than that. Before he throws the first stone, he begins to talk to that giant. He said, you may come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Can I tell you, you can speak to your storm. You can remind the storm you're facing today, whether it's financial, if it's physical, if it's sickness, you can speak to that storm and say, listen, storm, you can come against me every way you want to, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord, because that's the promise we have as God's people. So start today. Start speaking to your storm. And fourth, allow your storm to awaken your faith. You know, Jesus was asleep in the boat, but yet the Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 12 that God's given us faith for every storm that comes to our life. Did you know right now, I know you may not, maybe your life is filled with panic, and maybe you don't feel like I'm a faith-filled person, but God's put faith in your life. He's put faith in your life to stand up on God's word. He's put faith in your life that maybe you don't even know about. But oftentimes, storms are opportunities for our faith to shine, for our faith to come out of the crevices of our life, the deep place of our life, and actually show up in our life in a major way. These disciples, man, panic was telling them this was the end. But peace should remind us that God has put more in us than is coming against us. That greater is he that's in you than the storm that's against you. So I want to remind you, fourth of the night, to allow your storm to awaken your faith. I like what Charles Stanley says. He says, adversity should call our faith into action, not call our faith into question. You know, I've been so impressed the last few weeks as this crisis has come upon our nation, our community, and our state. A lot of people are backing down, hiding out, hoarding resources. But at the assembly, I've seen some of you, instead of your faith being shaken, your faith has been activated. I've seen you give like you've never given before. I've seen you give financially to help people out. I've seen you remain faithful in your tithe and your offering to see Kingdom 2020 Kingdom Builders go forward. I've seen you items that people around town are hoarding, you're showing up and giving freely. We've been blessing the school systems through Snack Pack to a place that they don't know where to put all this stuff we're getting them. So what are they doing with it? They're sending it home to kids. They're putting it where you want it to be put. I'm just saying simply this, that let this crisis that we're in today, don't let it cause your faith to be questioned. Let it call your faith into action. When Jesus woke up, he spoke to the storm, but then he spoke to those disciples, and he asked them a pretty challenging question. He says, where's your faith? Don't you have any? In other words, Jesus was bothered by the fact that the storm caused them to question him instead of activate their faith and believe in him. Let's not be guilty of just hiding out during the storm. Let's be guilty of speaking to it and asking the Lord, God, what could I do for you in the middle of it? Many of you have been doing that, and I just want to say, God bless you. Let's continue that, and let's do the last thing today. I want to challenge you. Point number 5 today. Let's determine to know Jesus better during this storm. Is this storm going to be over in 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months? No one knows for sure. But here's what I do know. When this storm is over, you and I can have a better knowledge of Jesus and his power than we ever have before. When Jesus spoke and said, hey, wind, waves, be calm, the disciples looked at each other and they said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey his voice? They've seen Jesus heal people. They've seen Jesus forgive people. They've seen Jesus do a lot of things. But it was they're accompanying him through a storm, or maybe it was him accompanying them through a storm, that let them know his power, know his might, know his care like never before. You know, there's another guy in the Bible who had to go through his own storm. His name was Job. And when Job was coming through his storm, I love what he said. He said, Lord, I'd only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. See, panic says, there's no answer. But peace reminds us that Jesus is the answer. He is our peace. He's known as the God of peace through the Word of God. And He can be your peace today. You can trade your panic for God's peace. And I want to pray today that you'll make that exchange. I want to pray today that God will give you the fortitude, the willpower, the courage to not retreat in fear, not be paralyzed in panic, but to move forward in faith and to trade your panic for God's peace. And so I want to ask you right now, as you're watching from home, would you just bow your heads? And I want to pray that in this moment, even in your living room, that there's going to be a real exchange take place. Just like money changing hands, there's going to be some currency changed in your house today. You're going to be exchanging your currency, panic, for God's currency, peace. And your life is going to be changed. Would you join me in prayer today? Father, we love you. And I just thank you for every person watching and listening today. And Lord, I pray right now for those people, Lord, men, women, children, Lord, they're facing panic. They're dealing with panic of all different types, all different areas of life. Some of them is financial, some of them is emotional, or some of them is extreme loneliness that's causing them to panic. Lord, it doesn't matter what their storm is. The reality is you're greater than that storm. And I pray this will be a holy moment in their house today, that they'll just sense the Holy Spirit make that exchange in their life. That right now, where there is panic, I pray right now there be unexplainable peace. Or they may not know all the answers, but they know you're with them. And the fact that you are with them lets them be able to boldly confess, hey, I'm going to the other side. Jesus cares for me. He is with me. And He can even use me during this storm. And I'm determined today, because of God's help, when I leave this storm, I'm going to leave Him in a greater fashion, knowing Him in a greater fashion than ever before. So God, I just pray you'll grant that prayer to these people today. And we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I want to challenge you every day this week. Trade your panic for God's peace. God bless you. We love you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.